Michael Bahram is well known as an attorney, a lawyer, but most recently he's been in politics. We'll find out exactly why he decided to do that. But on Friday, he issued a statement about the intention of the South African authorities to change the rules for estate agents. And effectively, as he describes it, it'll force them into BEE transactions, otherwise lose their Fidelity Fund certificates, which is an existential risk. What that means is they go out of business. We'll find out more about it today. Michael, we've been picking up on this story with Piet le Roux from SAKA-Lega, and it's interesting to see that you're the first political party that's come out and said anything about it. But before we go there, and you will be able to unpack for us, being a lawyer, exactly what all of this means, what brought you into politics?
Okay, yeah, I was brought in. In fact, later on in life, I'd been practicing labor law now for almost 45 years, long before the new dispensation. And part of the practice of labor law, I got involved with trade unions and the trade union movement, and in particular, the involvement in the trade unions in, I strongly believe this, were involved in the bringing of the end to the apartheid regime. And I was very proud of COSATU, and I was very happy with them. I represented a lot of trade unions in those early days. And I was approached by the Democratic Alliance, in particular Helen Ziller at the time, to come in and say, well, what about coming in to politics, representing the Labour voice within the Democratic Alliance? She said something that was quite rude. I'm not sure if I can say that, but what she said, what about coming into the tent and pissing out instead of standing outside the tent and pissing in? I quite enjoyed that at the time, and I obviously at the time also was a member of the Democratic Alliance. I believe in their policies. I was very happy. I helped write some of the labor policies, and I was invited. It's now 10 years I've been in parliament, and I most of the time I've been their deputy shadow minister of labor, and now shadow minister after the retirement of Dr. Cardo. And I've enjoyed it, absolutely loved it in the portfolio committee. In fact, to the extent that I've spent a lot of time training some of my colleagues from other political parties in the labor law, not the politics, just the labor law itself. We've got some very good labor laws in this country. You might recall right in the beginning when President Mandela came in, he said we need labor laws that everyone will understand. And in fact, it's very simple, the labor laws. People look at it as a complicated area of law, but it's not. It's not like income tax law or all that heady stuff. This is for simple people like me. And labor law itself, to a large degree, is fair. To a large degree, it's doing what it's supposed to do. Like institutions such as the CCMA, the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation, and Arbitration, is a wonderful institution. It's just the government that seems to be hollowing it out. And that's been my problem all along. The governing party, the ANC, seems to have taken what is good law and bastardized it. And we're seeing this all the time. We're seeing it right now with the property practitioners' situation that they've been placed into, that the government somehow wants to destroy business. And I'm not sure why. I don't understand it, other than it probably looks good right now for the elections coming up. It looks like they're doing something, when in fact they're doing nothing but negative. So my days in politics and in the labor portfolio have been good for me. I've been happy. I haven't been all that successful, I must admit, because somehow people just vote me down, probably because where I'm sitting. But at the end of the day, I've made little incremental moves. And when I saw this now, that the property practitioner actually got a fright, because both you and I know that the majority of property practitioners are mom and pop shops. It's a person sets themselves up, it's quite a easy industry to get into. It costs very little to set up. You need a few billboards and maybe a laptop, and then you're in. You write an exam, you go into the regulatory authority, you write the exam, you become a state agent, and off you go. And the whole idea being that you've now created some employment for yourself and maybe one or two other people. That's the majority. There are some of the big ones, some of the big agencies, and they probably don't mind what's going on over here. But I think this will kill about 6,000 in the industry, about 6,000 businesses. It'll kill them because, I mean, if it's Michael Bagram who sets himself up with a couple of billboards and a certificate under my arm, and I love selling property, and now I suddenly have to become 50% BE compliant, well, that'll be the end of me, and I'll have to go and practice in Botswana or somewhere else. I can't stay here. I don't know. That's maybe part of the reason is because I represent a lot of estate agents as well. They've all looked at me and said, but this is absolutely crazy. I mean, I employ two people. Most of them are sane. One of them a receptionist, tea lady, office administrator. Another one is another estate agent to help me.
Yeah. Something that occurred to me the other day, or I was told about, is that with most small businesses, you have a revenue of 10 million rand as your threshold before you lose your BEE certificate. Is it the same in the estate agency? Because a guy was saying to me that, no, in our industry, it's already only 2.5 million rand, and then you lose your BEE, what's it,
micro
enterprise, yeah.
SMME, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But it looks like we're moving beyond the turnover, and that's going to be the problem. It looks like this is pernicious. This is not describing that at all. First of all, let's just be clear. It hasn't become law yet. It's a proposal. Mm. It hasn't come into power as yet.
Sorry, but let's just go back, if you don't mind. Just go back a little. So in other words, for all other industries in the country, once you go beyond 10 million rand turnover, then you lose your micro enterprise BE certificate. But with estate agents, that kicks in at 2.5 million rand. Is that correct?
We think so, in terms of the future. Now, yes, that's correct at the moment. But I don't know if they're going to.
Sorry, now you're taking it. You're taking it further now. So it's already been discriminated against, if that is correct. And you've said it is. Yeah. So now it goes one step further, where if you don't have 51% black ownership in your company, which might be a mom and pop shop of three people, you will lose your Fidelity Fund certificate, which means what?
Which means you can't trade, unless you want to do it illegally. But you can't do it. It's illegal. And these are people who are not going to go and do something that's illegal for a whole lot of reasons, but you don't want to do something that's criminal. And you can't trade without your certificate. And your certificate is your lifeblood. It's the bottom line. It's the business itself. So, I mean, I can't trade as an attorney, for instance, or practice as an attorney without being registered with the authorities. And I don't want to do anything illegal, and I'm sure no one else wants to do anything illegal. We're trying to have a society that runs properly. And what you're really doing over here as a government is you're actually just trying to outlaw an industry. You want to just destroy it. It makes no sense. I can't find anyone to tell me what the sense is of this. The whole idea of this industry, and they were hoping that it would become easier for people to get into, is that you would train people who were previously disadvantaged, called it black, colored, Indian, train people to become entrepreneurs. And that's well known. Estate agents are entrepreneurs. They're small entrepreneurs. They don't earn enormous money, most of them, especially the smaller ones. But it means that they become their own boss. It means it's creating employment. And it's good for the whole industry. The whole property industry is good for that. So I don't know what the government's thinking is, other than what I said before, is they somehow want to look like they're doing something so that it's good for votes. In other words, you're telling everyone out there that we're now going to take this industry and we're going to create more jobs for black people. But that doesn't make any sense at all, because all you're doing is you're closing down the businesses. So there is not even training. You can't train someone if you don't exist, if the business isn't there.
So Dr. Anthea Jeffrey of the IRR has laid out very clearly that this is part of the, not this in particular, but that there is a National Democratic Revolution master plan that is being followed by the ANC. I guess what I'd love to get your insights on, and I know you can't speak for the party, but you're in a political party where you are allowed to have your own mind. But it is the perception amongst the society is the DA is hedging its bets. It's hoping to get into government with the ANC. But if you listen to Dr. Jeffrey and you listen to other people and you see this kind of thing that the ANC government is putting forward, then why is the DA even considering going into this least worst partnership? Surely, if you guys want to win this election, you should be saying, we will never get into bed with these kind of policies or a party that follows these kind of policies. Just help us out here, Michael, because I can tell you that on the ground, people are losing confidence in the DA. We're seeing the DA going down in the polls, and it seems to have been from the day that this idea of, well, the least worst option for South Africa would be us going into coalition with the ANC. Help us.
Well, it's very difficult for me because, first of all, my belief is that that's not correct. That's not true. And I know that there's been a lot of bubble and noise about that. I'm not, certainly personally, not in favor of that at all. But the reality is that there are people talking about it. Now, I'm not in the policy structures within the DA, so not only have I got no jurisdiction to tell you anything about it, but over and above all of that, I actually don't know what you're talking about, because I have been within the DA for 10 years and I attend all their meetings. I don't miss meetings. I'm quite a stickler for that. And I've never heard anyone say that we're going to get into bed with the ANC. That's not the DA's policy at all. And in fact, all the policies that I know that the ANC is practicing are anathema to the economy. And here's one that is absolutely destructive, but I can keep you here for hours telling you about what I hate about the ANC and its policies. I think it's communist based. Maybe people say it's the worst, it's the second worst option. You've got to avoid ANC going into bed with those horrible people in the red turncoats. And I understand what people are saying, but that's not where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is I believe in the DA's policies. The Democratic Alliance is a liberal party. It wants to let business carry on with business. In other words, less government. I'm hoping that, and it looks like the ANC is still going to get the most votes in the election. I mean, let's be practical about that. But I'm hoping that they'll have some decent people who start thinking properly in the future. But I can't see an alignment between the DA and the ANC. But who knows? The leadership might, after the election, might have to do some serious thinking, because that amalgamation of EFF ANC is dreadful for me. I mean, I intend to live in this country. I intend to stay here. I've got grandchildren in this country, and I'm hoping we don't throw it into the dustbin of history, because I think an EFF ANC alignment will throw us into the dustbin of history. And if we can avoid it, well, I leave it to people who are cleverer than me to think that one through. Maybe you've got better answers than I've got, but at the moment I can't even contemplate that. There was someone who said it's too ghastly to contemplate. You might recall that phrase. And for me, that's ghastly. But what is more ghastly is that ANC-EFF partnership. which put shivers up my spine, because I've worked my whole life over here. I've got my own little house. I wouldn't like anyone to take that away. And I, quite frankly, at the moment, I'm feeling very uneasy as to where we're going in politics.
As are many. Very uneasy. As are many South Africans. But we have a constitution, and the concern, I guess, that you should be seeing in the DA is that the voters are saying, well, the DA is not really an alternative to the ANC because they are hedging their bets and they might get into bed with them. Whereas previously, you were seen as an alternative. You know, Herman Mashaba has said, I will never get into coalition with the ANC. The DA is saying, well, you know, we might save the country by doing it. Perhaps the constitution will save the country, not some kind of a coalition with the ANC. But anyway, you said you're not in the policy committee. I would just love to know whether this is something that's even been considered, because if you're going down in the polls at the rate that the DA is going down, whereas you should have been full of self-confidence, you should have been going into an election where you said these guys on the other side are hopeless and we see what they're doing. They're shooting themselves in the foot again now with estate agents. If there's any estate agent who votes for the ANC, they've got to be nuts after this latest attempt. You would think that you're the guys who should be having the momentum, but the polls are telling us it's the opposite.
Well, I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's right, and people need to have a look. And the real answer is not Mashaba, not any of the smaller parties. The real answer is vote for a party that actually is an alternative. And we've proved that we are the alternative. Have a look what's going on in the Western Province. I mean, we're down to 20%. It's actually less. It's 19% unemployment. In other words, our policies are actually working. In terms of where you can never say never, in terms of where the DA is going in the future, I haven't got a crystal ball, but I can categorically tell you, I've sat in meetings for the last 10 years on a daily basis with the DA, and no one has ever said we're getting into bed with the ANC. That's never been said to me. Whether someone said it in a smoke-filled room somewhere and it came out, I don't know who said that. I certainly have never heard John, who's the leader, say that. He's never ever come forward and said that he wants to get into bed with the ANC, even in the worst-case scenario situation. So he happens to be my leader. I have faith in him. And where I'm sitting right now, I think I'm horrified to hear what you're saying, that people believe we're going to get into bed with ANC. I'm absolutely horrified to hear that. That makes me shout out and say, no, that's not the case. So,
well,
you're right.
Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for the DA. Maybe it's time for the DA to actually come out and do that and shout out and say, we will never get into bed with these guys, even if they're going to try and destroy the country. Because it's this like, anyway, it is, that's the view, that's the feeling on the street. And you look forward to even consider that the DA might have lost the Western Cape. Its majority in the Western Cape would seem totally irrational. But it's a very, very real issue now, given this belief amongst voters that, oh, well, they want to govern, so they're going to go into partnership with the ANC. Heaven help us if that were to become a reality after the election for the majority of voters. And they're telling us this. You can see it in the polls, Michael, but I'm sure there are people somewhere in some organization within the official opposition who's saying, hang on, guys, how come we're losing momentum? How come the polls are showing that we're falling? Is this acceptable? Perhaps not. But getting back to the purpose of this conversation, is the idea of the estate agents having to have a fidelity certificate based on racial grounds constitutionally sound? I said to you earlier, maybe you don't need to save our country by going into coalition with the ANC because you got the constitution. I might be smoking my socks on that one. But is this thing with the estate agents, can somebody challenge it in the Constitutional Court and win?
Yes, and in fact, they will. They will challenge it. If the ANC is actually going to go ahead with this, I think, quite frankly, this might just be a lot of smoke and mirrors with the ANC itself, because they're desperate. Their figures are falling fast. very fast, and they're desperate to try and do something to try and lift up their people to vote for them. And they're sending this message out. I think it's a false message to the black populace of South Africa to say, look what we're doing here. We're trying this. They're doing it with actors as well, by the way. I don't know if you've seen them, but doing the same thing with the actors in South Africa, the people who act in movies and voiceovers and that sort of thing. They're saying exactly the same thing, that you have to get a BE certificate, and they're going to make it just as bad for them. So they're clutching at every single straw they can find and say, this is what we're doing for the black people of South Africa, when in fact they're doing nothing. So the Constitution, I must tell you, one thing I'm very proud of is the South African Constitution. It's a great constitution. It works. And if only people would at least respect it, because this is showing disrespect to the Constitution. This is harking back to apartheid. This is social engineering. It's called a spade a spade. It is social engineering. The Nazis practiced that, after all. And we're seeing it all over again. One would have thought that we'd learned from apartheid, that you don't start fiddling with race, color, creed, sex. I mean, the ANC's just done that over here by putting out this idea to say, no, 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 we're going to now interfere in this industry. Okay, they'll destroy the industry. That's not too bad in their minds. But what is good in their minds is that this is sending a message to say to the black people, we're going to find you more jobs. Where are they going to find the jobs when the businesses close? So, yes, people will challenge it. There will be, if anything, the DA will challenge it. The Democratic Alliance has got a long and good history of actually approaching the courts when we have things that are anti the Constitution. This is unconstitutional, and this is the worst case of sort of changing the playing field. It's really bad. Now, I mean, what we do know is that there's a very strong thought within the ANC, and especially within the EFF as well, that they want to scrap the Constitution. That you know. And you've got to be very careful, because let's say the ANC gets, say, 45%, and the EFF gets 15%. We're then very close to numbers to be able to scrap the Constitution as well. So, and that happens to be the rock bed of my faith in South Africa, is the Constitution. And you're quite right. You're saying that we've got the defense of the Constitution. But imagine if people get the numbers to actually go and destroy that. Then we just got anarchy in South Africa. So we can't afford that either. We must protect our Constitution.
So maybe that comes back to the argument that many people are saying, is that just make sure that your multi-party coalition gets at least 34%, and don't leave any doubt in anybody's minds that you want to go into government with those who propagate the national, these kind of ideas, as we've just seen today. Michael Bagram is the Shadow Minister for Labour in the Democratic Alliance, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.